Vov Tishrei, Tuesday the 4th of October, Dr. Sholem Springer, the Ayla of Rav, and other influences.
Good morning to you all. I've taken today's shiur, or perhaps shiurim, depends how far we get, from the writings of Rav Yitzchok Huttner, from the Parchat Yitzchok. I'm going to start off with Mama Lamed Zayin. And I'd like to say this as a hakdoma to presenting Rav Huttner's work. Firstly, I think I could say that he is one of the most creative thinkers that we have among the writings of lots of people who give us teachings on hashkofa, outlook, and general Yiddishkeit and understanding. His writings are quite enormously impressive. And I have myself drawn his work quite extensively. And what I want to say in Hagdoma of this particular presentation is that the Derech of the Yeshiva, and certainly of Huttner, and of Dessler, and of Chaim Friedlander, and all of these gentlemen were people who were active in the Yeshivas. And the Yeshiva world generally has a style which is to start with a kasha, to work your way through various sort of inyonim, related inyonim, and then come back to the kasha with the teretz. Certainly with the Rav Huttner's material, the kasha and the teretz is not the important thing. It's the process that goes on in the middle. It's the education and the insight into his thinking that really, whether you remember the kasha at the end of the drasha, doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. Whether the drasha for emphasis the kasha also is irrelevant. It's what goes on in the middle that I really want to bring out and emphasize. Now, we have a chazal which tells us the following. It's Gemara in Yuma, and it says, "Ukvah hayukoyloi shel koyin gadol nishma birichai b'shor she'omer onu Hashem." The koil of the Kain Gadol reached Yerichai, so that means from Yerushalayim to Yerichai, that's where his voice could be heard when he said, "Ono Hashem." Pirush Rashi, Kva, what is Kva? Parmachas hoya maisa shehoya Kain Gadol misvade al poroi. That happened once that the Kain Gadol was doing vidui on his poro. V'yoyim akipurim. V'omer ono Hashem, he said, the Nusach, ono Hashem, Chatosi, v'nishma koiloi biricha. That's what Rashi says. Now the question about that is, that the Gemara only says that the Kohen was doing vidui. Now we know we do vidui three times. Yeah, there's vidui for the poroi shel aroi, there's vidui for the whole family of Kohenim, and there's vidui for the whole of Klal Yisrael, and the Nusach is the same, we all say ono Hashem. So the Gemara only says that the Kohen Gadol said Ono Hashem. Rashi says it was talking about Poroi Shel Aaron. How does Rashi know that? The Maral tells us that when we Mavdaik a Chazal, there is no piece of information in that Chazal which is incidental. Every little item, maybe a name or some particular Loshen, as we know well from our learning, that every item in a Chazal has got importance and significance. There's nothing which is there by chance. And here we have the name of a town, Yerichai, mentioned, and picking up from the Maral, therefore that town must also have significance. Why? Just Yerichai is the border of the Kohen Gadol's voice on that occasion. Perhaps it should go nearer, perhaps it should go further. Why just Yerichai? So we have these ideas which perhaps we'll come back to, hopefully we'll come back to later on. Digressing for a moment, there are two types of gerim that we know about that join Klal Yisrael. One type is called a ger, the person who decides, the megayah, and he takes on and adopts all the dinim, all the prohibitions, all the grandeur and splendor of Yiddishkeit. Call that person a ger. But there's another type of ger that we heard about. The Torah talks about this sort of ger, and these were the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav aren't just called gerim, as the others are. The Erev Rav are a different category. And the Erev Rav have in their name the concept of mixing. A ger, when he joins Klal Yisrael, gets a chunta. Yeah? In other words, He submits to everything that the law demands, that a Yiddishkeit demands. The Ger submits. He comes in with no opinion at all. He is, in the expression of the Gemara, a cotton shenoyle domis. He's born anew. Comes in a sort of clean sheet. Whatever the din tells him to do, wherever the Torah instructs him, wherever the Chachamim tell him to go, that's where he goes. He has no opinion at all. The Erev Rav come in with a different agenda. The Erev Rav come in and, you know, Chabadeh, I've also got an opinion, Erev Rav, I'm going to mix with you. And that's different, that's quite different. They are there, we're here now, you know, we're with the Erev Rav. We're here. And that's a very, very different sort of concept between those two. There's a sort of mixing. They want to dilute, if you like, Yiddishkeit in some way. Now, Chazal tell us that the Yetzer Hara works in certain ways. And one of them, the description given, is this. Shehayom ayim eloi asei kach. Today he tells you to do this. Ulamach ayim eloi asei kach. Tomorrow he tells you to do something else. Ad shehayim eloi leich va'avoid avoid azorah. Until he tells you, gets all through all those stages, until he tells you to actually worship avoid azorah. For ayim. And the man goes and actually is, chas v'sholom, he's oibed avoda zora. So that's how the Yetzer Hara operates. By slow degrees, by slow moves, slow steps. Now, there are in fact two different types of Yetzer Hara. There's Yetzer Hara, which is the inner voice. Lo yeh b'chor eil zor, the Torah says. B'chor! Within you, there should not be an eil zor. That avoda zora, that sort of gnaws away at us. Works tunnels away at us, within us. That's within us. That's the Yetzer Hara that works within us. And then there is a Yetzer Hara, which is outside influences. There is a very glittery world out there, a very interesting, very attractive world out there, and that beckons us in all sorts of ways. That world, that world creates a yearning for us to join it, but it's outside of us. So there are two types of Yetzer Hara which work in different ways. One is an outside influence coming in, and one is an inside influence within us wanting, so to speak, to get out. But it's the inner Yetzer Hara which actually brings us eventually to concrete Avera through the method that we've talked about before. Hayoim, Oymar Sekach, Hayetzer Hara tells you, you can try this, try a little bit of that. And eventually we move through various stages until we get to Avodah Zorah. It's a, so to speak, it's a fifth columnist. It's within us, and it's working within us, but against us. Like they used to call a fifth columnist during the Second World War, I think it was an expression coined then. People who were working from within the country, but in fact helping the enemy all the time. Now, the idea dates back to Adam Rishon. This idea of the inner Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Hara outside, and the influences, we could call it Sotan, dates back to the time of Adam Rishon. And Rabbi Dessler expands this very, very much, and how this all works, and I would say it briefly, and taken from the writings of Chaim Volozhin, Nefesh HaChaim. And he tells us that before Adam Rishon was Choyte, the Yetzer Hara only existed outside of him. There was the Eitz HaDaas, that represented an evil influence, something that he was not meant to partake of, wasn't meant, if you call it, touch. In terms of eating, it was forbidden to eat from the tree. And that was an influence that was completely outside of himself. In fact, it had nothing to do with him. It was just there. The Baruch Shalom told him, don't eat of that tree. There was nothing within him which had any particular yearning to do that. How it actually happened and how the Nachash managed to persuade Adam Rishon to eat of that tree is a very interesting story in its own right. But we won't go into that at the moment. But the fact is that the tree was something that was outside of himself, and Adam Rishon himself had no particular yearning to do any sort of Avera. All he stood for, and the Ramban expands on this, all he stood for was to do Tzivoy Hashem, to do the Ratzon Hashem. He was a creation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He wanted to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted him to do, and that's all he wanted to do. He had no particular yearning to eat of that tree. The tree was outside of himself, even in a moshel, poshet a moshel. You can train a child when it's crossing the road that, you know, there are cars whizzing along this road. You've got to be very careful. So you stand on the curb and you wait until the road is clear. And when it's clear, you cross the road. The danger is outside of yourself. It's nothing to do with you. All you do is need to keep back. You need to keep away from that danger. Keep away from the danger and the danger won't touch you. So you stand on the side of the road until the danger has passed and then you can go over the road. The danger and you are two different things. That was the situation koidem achet. After the chet, we learn that in fact the danger, the Eitz Hara, became an integral part of Adam Rishon. It was absorbed, it was ingested by ingesting of that tree. So therefore the Eitz Hara becomes part of the human being. Now the Eitz Hara is part of me, and in fact Rebbe Dessler's got a whole shtickle on it about how before the Eitz Hara became part of the person and was outside, the Eitz Hara would have to talk to you in the second person. Wouldn't it be nice if you did such and such? Wouldn't you like to partake of so and so, etc., etc.? He would talk to you in the second person. And the Eitz Hara, which was your integral part, the main part of you would say, I, me, what you talk about, dream of, I. After the Chet, the roles are reversed. After the Chet, then the Eitz Hara, which is now inside of us, says, wouldn't I like to do such and such? It talks in the first person. Yeah, I would love to do so and so. I want to do etc. It's I. Now it's become part of me. And I actually heard this year first when I was back in Gateshead. We're talking about many, many decades ago. Yeah, and I heard this year given by Rav Miller, Zecharin and Levrocha, Ramocha Miller, and it's actually in this Loshen, in the Sefer, in Michta Melio, it's this very, very Loshen, about talking the first person, talking the second person. It's exactly, obviously, how Rabbi Dessler had taught it. So, after the Chet, it's very different. It's that the Yetzer Hara is within us, and therefore is talking to us in the first person. So,
and the Yetzer Tov is out now.
Well, it's not out, but it's not dominant anymore. That's the thing. It isn't out. We have both, in fact. We are a mixture of Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara within us, but it seems the Yetzer Hara shouts louder. And we maybe give it more space as well. So, the Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov mix within us. Indeed, in fact, this is the basis of the Klolos. The Klolos that were given to Adam Rishon after the Chet, number one was, B'zeah sapecha toichel lechem, you shall now eat your bread by the sweat of your brow. Okay, you're not going to have to work. Okay, it's no longer, it's going to pop up from the ground. You just pick it off the tree. Now, from now on, you're going to have to very work hard. You're going to have flour, sow, water, etc. All the things you've got to do, and the sweat is going to be rolling down your face. Now, in fact, you know, sweat is what we expel from our body. This is what we are sort of rejecting. But it has another meaning. Because this word zeah in Hebrew not only means actual physical sweat, but it also has a connotation of the nochosh. The nochosh was a zuhama. This zuhama is some sort of evil spirit, what we call the Eitz Hara. This zuhama was absorbed by the human being. And now this zuhamol, this sweat, that which we would expel from our bodies, is now going to be part of the tikkun of making bread. So the making bread is not just a pure function, it's also going to be by virtue or as a result of this zuhamol or this zeah. So the klala itself carries this connotation of this mixing of both the good and the bad. And it's now going to be a partner in the production of food. The other klala that Adam Rishon was given is kotz v'darda klatzmiyachloch. That now, from now on, that when your crops grow, that there are going to be thorns and thistles and all sorts of plants are going to grow that you don't really want, and weeds, etc. So once again, you've got a taruvus, a mixture of the good stuff and the bad stuff, and you're going to have to spend your life in separating the two. You, that's the job of a person, is to separate the good from the bad. That's what we do. That was the klala of Adam Rishon. And in fact, in Alei Shur, Rav Volba has got a big maracha about the bitochen and ishtadlus, and this is how he teaches bitochen and ishtadlus. Ishtadlus is now going to be the act of separating the good and the bad. And sometimes we don't always know what's good and bad. That's some part of the problem of our generation, which Rav Hutner actually calls in another place, tishtush. Tishtush would be a mixture. We don't know what's good and bad. And the job is, of the human being, maybe especially now during the Aseres Mitzvah, is to find out what is really good and what is bad. How can I separate the good from the bad? How can I do this act of separation? Moving on with that, and with this theme, we see that actually death itself, the bringing in, the Yoy Macholcha Mimenu, Mois Tomus, the Rabbi Shalom says to Adam Rishon, on the day that you eat of this, Mois Tomus, you're going to bring death in. Because until now, the person, the human being, Adam Rishon, was not subject to death. his chayim, his continued and enduring life, was in his goof, and that was the way it was going to be. Where was death? Death was in the tree. The Eitz Hadas, that was the potential, that was the poison. If he ingests, then he's going to mix Chaim and Mavis. Now all of a sudden we are vulnerable. We are subject to death at any time. So there again we have the mixture of even life and death mixing together as a result of the Chet Adam Rishon. So the Eitz Hadas was Ma'ariv, mixed together the two. And in fact, the Gemara has a strange term. It talks about the Rechem. The Rechem is the womb, which is the origin, the source of life, the womb. But the Gemara uses an expression for the Rechem as Kever. It's also the same word as our grave. The grave and the womb are now connected. Yeah, from cradle to grave, I think we say. Okay, so the Gemara's got this expression which encompasses both of those ideas. And it's all included in a simple chazal which calls the chet hakadmoni, the first chet, as zuhamos hanochosh. This zuhamos, the influence, the evil influence of the nochosh, that is what happened where the snake at first had to come from outside and had to spin his web from the outside of Adam Rishon. As I said, perhaps we can deal with it another time now, may not be the time, of how he actually managed to make Adam Rishon do a chet, but Adam Rishon had no yearning to do that chet. In a nutshell, Rabbi Dessler explains in the drawing from Rav Chaim Volozhin that what he managed to do is to say that if you do this sin, then he will give you a better person. So Adam Rishon was yearning to be a better person. Somehow he convinced him, he was very persuasive that you can become a better person by doing this avera, by contravening the will of a college prophet and become a better person. It's a greater challenge, you will achieve more. You can all look at the sources. But the snake stood outside, and now he is part of Adam Rishon's body. That Zuhama is now actually part of him. Okay, so far the history, and now we move on in our calendar. We get to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Get to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden the Yidden are on an upward path. Upward, onwards, we're going to count the Sphira. We're going to have 49 days anyway. Whether they counted the Sphira in those days, I don't know, during that particular time, or whether it became a mitzvah later, I don't know. But fact is, they had 49 days in which Chazal tell us they climbed the ladder of Kedusha. Why? Each day they rejected one of the steps of Tumah, and they acquired a new step of Kedusha until the pinnacle of their success was on the 49th day. They were standing in front of Har Sinai, and they'd reached some height which a human being can hardly reach. In fact, Chazal describe it as Adam Harishon Koidem Achet. That's where they were. So they're standing there at this point. And we're talking about a complete hashlomo. They've gone through Tvila, gone through Mila, etc. The 49 steps, Boitziacha Esa'om Tavdun Es Hashem Bahar Hazeh. So the Baal Shem says, when they reach this point in their Tahara, then they can do proper service, and this is the pinnacle they've reached. In other words, all that mixing that we talked about, all that hisarvus that we talked about, of the Zuhamah and the Tumah of the Nochash, etc., they had expunged that, they had expelled that now. Through the 49 steps of Kedusha, they'd expelled all that. So now we had separated out again all those influences that came on with Adam Rishon, were now expelled from the human being. However, even though they were now in a situation of Adam Rishon Koidem Achet, this situation should have ensured that they wouldn't allow any other type of mixing to go on. In other words, it should have ensured that now we have managed to separate out that Zuhamah that Adam Rishon gave us as a legacy. From now on, we oughtn't to allow in any influences that will divert our path at all. That's what should have happened. But in fact, that's not what happened. They allowed the Erev Rav. So while we're getting rid of one sort of influence, the influence of the effects of Adam Rishon, they were acquiring a whole new set of influences, which was the Erev Rav. And what actually happened was, of course, the Zuhamah came back, because it ended up with the Egel, and the Zuhamah came right back, and so to speak, went back to square one, but in fact, square two. And that was the problem. That's what actually happened. Vis'arevu bagoyim v'yilmedu m'maseihem. And we allow the going in that way, as we've described, that not just as Galen, that's fine, because then they submit to the law of the Torah. But when people come in, like the Erev Rav did, we have a day, we've got something to say as well, then we are at the mercy of Vizharavu Bagoyim V'yilmedu Mimaseichem. Now we come back to where we started, which was that at the point where Klal Yisrael were moving towards Eretz Yisrael and actually crossed over the Arden, the first town that they encountered and conquered was, of course, Yericho. So Yericho was their first exposure to Goyim. That's where they met the Goyim. They had to fight the Goyim. In fact, they conquered Goyim, but that's when they mixed with the Goyim. So we've now got two types of mixing. We've got the mixing of the Erev Rav, who integrated themselves into Klal Yisrael from within. And we've also now got the mixing of Klal Yisrael, who are now mixing with the Goyim, who are outside. So there's two sorts of mixing, and all that happens at the border town called Yericho. So that's really what changed. So until now, we had Goyim integrated in the Jewish people, and now that's swapped into Yidden now integrating with the Goyim. So the voice of the Kohen Gadol, the sound of the Kohen Gadol, when he's doing vidui, is of course, as we know, that part of all that is a kapora on the egel. That's what the Kohen Gadol is doing, and we carry remnants, residues of the egel down through the ages, even though we've forgiven. The fact is, the kapora, the vidui that the Kohen Gadol does on the egel, is partly part of the service of Yom Kippur. And so it's very simple to understand now our kasha that we had in the first place. How did Rashi know that what we were talking about in the Gemara when he says, Ono Hashem, he's talking about his poro? How do you know poro se shel Aaron? Well, now we understand. Because the poro shel Aaron is particularly connected with the egel, because Aaron was involved in the egel, so therefore it's understood that this is the problem of the mixing of the Goyim with the Eden, whether it's this way through the Erev Rav, or the other way through the fact that they met Goyim in Yericho. The fact is that what Aaron is trying to obtain Kapora about is the fact that we have these influences, both from within and without, and we succumb to those, and therefore he wants Kapora for that. So Yom Kippur actually covers both of those types of influence, which arise from inside and outside. And our problems arise from our inability to cope and get the influences of the Goyim in the right perspective. Of course, we in Gol especially have to interact, and we go to work and we have all sorts of things that we need to do and interact with Goyim, and that's inevitable, and nobody's saying that is wrong. We need to do that and it should be done properly. I sometimes speak in schools. They ask me to come and speak in schools because I had a career and quite a bit of experience in working, we'll call it industry. And one of the things I noticed when I was there was, and I say this to the children in the school, people maybe just leaving school, is that the Yid, whether he likes it or not, is always the ambassador for the Jewish people. They're always looking at you in one way or the other. It's not just self-consciousness. They are. And if I tell the children, look, if everybody is cheating a little bit on their timesheet, you mustn't. Because even if everybody's doing it, the law says, he's doing something wrong. The fact is that we need to keep our standards over and above the general standard that we find outside. We need to keep a higher standard. We need to have the standards of the Goyim in their perspective and not allow it to creep into our yardas and our hashkofa. So Taruvus with the Goyim is a danger, and therefore the Kohen Gadol's voice extended to Yericho, the Yericho being the border town where the influences mixed together, the influences of the Erev Rav on the one hand, and the influences of the fact that the Goyim now, we now met the Goyim for the first time. And therefore, what the Poro Shel Aaron was doing was trying to counteract both of those. So it's the Egel which is refined, obviously, and referred to in Ono Hashem, and therefore we understand that what Rashi was saying. Now, I've actually finished a little bit early, and what I was planning to do was that I knew this was a fairly short shiur. This is the idea that Rav Putner wants to put over, that in working out a chazal, in working out how you get from the kasha to the teretz, but in there are a lot of ideas that I think are interesting to us and interesting for us to know. Just continuing for a moment with Rav Putner, if I can get it in 5 minutes, another shiur of his deals with the idea that Yom Kippur is only mechaper for Averis Shebin Odom Lamoklaim, it doesn't work for Averis Shebin Odom Lachavera. It's all based on a posuk, Kibayim Azeh, the Yukippa posuk, of course, Kibayim Azeh Yechapa Aleichem, Letai Eschem, in the Kol Chataseichem, Lifnei Hashem Titorim. The Gemara darshins that the Chataseichem goes with Lifnei Hashem, means Chataseichem Lifnei Hashem, those Chatoim Yukippa helps for, but the Chataseichem, which are not Lifnei Hashem, which are not Ben Adam Lamokoim, in other words, Ben Adam Chaveroi, Yom Kippur doesn't work for. That's the Poshup Pshat in the Gemara. The Rubna explains, and maybe others explain the same, that the way it works is this, that even an earthly court has got to have both protagonists present when they're presenting their case. It's no good if one of them goes to the basin the night before, one of the Dayan the night before, and says, look, I want to tell you about the case that you've got to hear tomorrow. Immediately that Dayan would be excluded. So both protagonists have to be present at the court case. So similarly, if an issue is still outstanding between one person and another person, it's no use going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive me for the chelik which is Ben Adam Lamokim, because every Ben Adam Chaveroi also includes the Ben Adam Lamokim. Forgive me at least for the Ben Adam Lamokim part of it. And Baruch Hu says, no, you haven't settled Ben Adam Chaveroi, and I need both of you to be here. If you settle your fayas, your chava, then that's different. That's very different. Then you settle your chava, your chava's been moichel you, now you can settle the Benadam Lamokim part, and therefore that works. But otherwise, as long as there's something outstanding, I'm not going to hear the case. That's why Benadam Chavei doesn't work for Yom Kippur. That's on one level, says the Chutna. Now, I must say that this is presented also by Rabbi Bernstein in one of his tapes, and I cannot emulate, both I haven't got the time, and also not the erudition of Rabbi Bernstein. If you want to listen to it, it's one of the Devorim tapes, in which he says this piece most beautifully. I would encapsulate what Rav Huttner says. Rav Huttner says there's another aspect to this as well. Lifnei Hashem. And he says, you know, there's lots of times in the Torah where Lifnei Hashem is mentioned. So Lifnei Hashem is mentioned in terms of Masa Sheni. You bring your Masa Sheni to the Beis HaMikdosh. Sorry, to Yerushalayim. So Lifnei Hashem refers to Yerushalayim. And the Heichal, when you bring a Korban, the Korban bring it Lifnei Hashem. And the Azorah even is referred to in the Torah as Lifnei Hashem. And the Kodesh Kodoshim, Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodoshim, it's called Lifnei Hashem. So lots of times when the Torah describes something as Lifnei Hashem. Now there's a common denominator between all the other examples that I brought. All the other examples have the Lifnei Hashem referring to a geographical place. Yeah, Shlaim, Heichal, Kodesh Kodoshim. So Rav Huttner says this Lifnei Hashem over here is the only case where it's not a place. All the other cases, all the other four cases that I've brought, are places. But if Lifnei Hashem in the Yom Kippur Pasuk doesn't seem to be a place. So Fotner says the following beautiful thought. He says all these places have one common denominator. And the common denominator is that this place, these places, are all accessible to everybody. Everyone can go to Yerushalayim. Everybody can bring a korban to the Heichal. Everybody can go to the Azorah. And in the Kodesh Kodashim, the Kohen Gadol has got to represent the whole of Klal Yisrael. Everyone has access to that place. So that's the idea of Lifnei Hashem. Now if we carry over that idea to the Lifnei Hashem of Yom Kippur, then what have we got here? You've got a person who's got an issue with somebody else. So that somebody else has no access to that person. It was someone is excluded. And what the Torah says, that when you present yourself in front of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, on Yom Kippur, you've got to be Lifnei Hashem. What does Lifnei Hashem mean? Everyone has access. And that means everyone must have access to you as well. No one must be excluded. So if there is an outstanding issue, then you are not in a state of Lifnei Hashem. Rav Huttner even says that could be that our Ben Adam Lamokims don't work either, but let's not go that far. The fact is that it's a state of being. Lifnei Hashem is a state of being. And when we come to Yom Kippur, Kol Nidrei B'Nacht and Yom Kippur, then we want to be in a state of Lifnei Hashem. That means that every human being has access to us. We have no issues with anybody. We've settled everything we can. And then we can be confident that we will have a mechila, slicha, v'kapora. I wish you all a gemar simetek.